Charter. Glenn Walker, Head of Advocacy and Strategy for Greenpeace Australia Pacific, joins us now. Hello to you, Glenn.
G'day, thanks for having me.
Not at all. Woodside CEO Meg O'Neill yesterday blasted extremists, if you will. She said some of them had very deep pockets as well, for stopping gas projects. I'm not suggesting you're extremists, but you're against much of what Woodside has done and is doing. So what did you make of that?
Well, the science is really clear that gas is a dangerous fossil fuel, and the more we burn of it, the worse climate change will become and the worse these extreme weather events will become, like the fires and droughts and floods and cyclones that we're seeing in Australia. The International Energy Agency, the most preeminent body in the world to model how we construct our energy system in the future, has very clearly said that if we're to rein in climate change, if we're to meet the goals of the Paris Agreement, we cannot open new gas fields. Woodside is massively expanding gas fields off the coast of Western Australia. They want to keep expanding gas, and they argue that burning a lot more gas is somehow compatible with the goals of the Paris Agreement. That's completely false.
She did say, Meg O'Neill, the Woodside CEO, that they were committed to decarbonisation in Australia. It sounded, if you were listening, that she accepted that the changes had to be made, but they couldn't be made overnight. You're expecting too much too soon.
They're weasel words, to be really frank. Woodside is building what is Australia's most polluting, most climate polluting project in the country at the moment. They are massively expanding their gas projects off the beautiful coasts of Western Australia, which, by the way, threatens 54 already threatened species like the pygmy blue whale and loggerhead turtles, beautiful species off that coastline. The climate impacts of this project are enormous. So to say somehow they support decarbonisation and somehow they support the Paris Agreement, it's completely at odds with what they're actually doing with their business. If they were on board with that, they would stop opening up new gas. They would use some of the $7 billion, for example, that they made in profits this year to plough into renewable energy and clean industries rather than new gas fields. The facts don't bear out that this company is actually committed to decarbonisation.
Okay, again, if we were listening yesterday, Meg O'Neill did say, the Woodside CEO, that food security would be at risk here in Australia if gas projects here were slowed down. So how would you negotiate that? You want it to stop, but she's saying, well, if we stop, then people wouldn't have food on their plates when it came to mealtimes.
I think it's just an absolutely ridiculous statement to make. We're going to continue to have food into the future. What we need to do is replace these dangerous industries, the coal and gas industries in particular, which are driving climate change, which is what is threatening our food security, by the way. The quicker we transition away from these dangerous fossil fuels, the better. And by the way, Australia is extremely well placed to be a leader in this transition and to create new, clean, exciting industries with plenty of jobs, plenty of export income on the back of it. We have some of the sunniest, windiest resources on the planet. We can make green steel. We can make green aluminium. We can make green hydrogen. This is what we need to replace these dirty industries with. And those sorts of claims from the CEO of Woodside, I think, underscore how out of touch this company really is.
Some might say and think differently to you. They would perhaps suggest that Meg O'Neill, at least as far as you're concerned, acknowledges climate change and a problem with it. And she'll know, won't she? She'll know because 40% of shareholders last year within Woodside Energy voted against the company's own climate report. So are you hopeful you might get the changes that you want to see, or at least some of them?
That's right. Well, 49% of Woodside shareholders last year voted against their climate report because they see that the board and the leadership have completely dropped the ball on addressing climate change and managing climate risks. Just yesterday, there was a report out from Climate Energy Finance that demonstrates that because of the safeguard mechanism policy that the government, the federal government here has improved, there's now a $64 billion liability for Woodside's gas projects. So not only has the board dropped the ball on aligning with the Paris Agreement, they're creating large financial risks for their investors. So I think we're going to continue to see Woodside's investors raising a lot of concerns, and we might even see a heavy vote against some of their directors up for re-election, as we should.
I just wonder, do you ever have any direct communication with companies like Woodside, or are you continually throwing rocks at each other?
We have a lot of direct communication with Woodside and other companies. We work with many companies around Australia. Very recently, we've worked successfully with Australia's top companies to secure commitments to source their electricity from renewable sources 100% by 2025. And we sing their praises when they do that. We will absolutely do that. If Woodside were to turn around and say, we're going to stop building new gas fields, we're going to plough our profits into clean industries, then we would pat their back for that. At the moment, what they are doing is really dangerous to the environment, to the beautiful coast of Western Australia, to the climate, and they need to be stopped. Those projects need to be stopped. This company needs to be turned around. And the investors at their annual general meeting next week, they should be sending them a message that it's time to turn this ship around.
Glenn, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That is Glenn Walker, Head of Advocacy and Strategy for Greenpeace Australia Pacific, responding to that address at the National Press Club yesterday by the Woodside Energy CEO, Meg O'Neill.
What's the best thing in the world that's also on the ABC Listen app? The footy! This season, get your footy live and ad-free on the ABC Listen app. AFL, NRL, men's, women's. Whatever your picks, we've got you covered.
She's got it. Bye-bye. See you later.
Every goal, try, mark and tackle. Call by ABC Sports expert commentary team. AFL and NRL, live and ad-free. Get it on the ABC Listen app.
Yeah, make sure you do. It is really very good, the ABC Sport app, everything you need. Right now, though, we've got everything we need sport-wise in Daniel Garb. He's joining us for the afternoon here on ABC News Radio and the rest of the morning. If you're in WA and you've got one eye on that eclipse, we certainly have here. Dan, what's the latest?
Thank you for having me, Chris. We'll start with the swimming. Why not? Australian Swimming Championships are on at the moment, and Kai Taylor has continued his strong form on the Gold Coast by clocking the fastest time in the 100 metres freestyle heats. The 17-year-old son of swimming champion Hayley Lewis also took out the 200 metres freestyle final on Tuesday night. Molly O'Callaghan was fastest in the women's 200 metres freestyle heats ahead of the reigning Olympic champion Ariane Titmus. The Rabbitohs welcome the Panthers to Homebush tonight to kick off round 8 of the National Rugby League. Both clubs have won 4 matches so far this season to be in the mix for the top 4, but trail surprise leaders the Brisbane Broncos on the ladder. With Origin selection looming, the matchup between South's 5'8" Cody Walker and his opposite number Jerome Luai could determine who wears the Blues' number 6. Penrith have beaten Souths in 10 of their last 11 meetings. Manchester City has beaten Bayern Munich 4-1 on aggregate following a 1-1 draw away from home this morning in the Champions League quarterfinals. Erling Haaland scored his 48th goal this season midway through the second half that ended the Germans' hopes of an unlikely comeback. The result means City will meet holders Real Madrid in a glamour semi-final. Inter Milan also progressed after beating Benfica 5-3 on aggregate after a 3-3 draw in Italy. That means Inter Milan take on AC Milan in the other semi-final in another mouth-watering affair. Australian tennis player Alex Diminor has secured a spot in the last 16 of the Barcelona Open after dropping just one game against young Russian Alexander Shevchenko. He's the only Australian left in the draw after Jason Kubler lost in straight sets to Italian Lorenzo Musetti. Alexei Poprin almost joined Diminor in the next round but couldn't get one of his 3 match points against Alex Molchan in a heartbreaking loss. English cricket chiefs have ruled Test coach Brendan McCullum did not breach anti-corruption regulations by being a betting company brand ambassador. The New Zealander has had a partnership with 22bet and appeared in a series of advertisements for the Cyprus-based bookmaker, including encouraging people to bet on the Indian Premier League on his social media channels. The ECB has looked into the matter and says its anti-corruption code does not prevent